So this afternoon we're going to take a look at the enemy within. I think a lot of times we think that we're influenced by outside influences, which is true, but we can also be influenced by our self-talk, what we tell ourselves. I think most of us have heard the expression that we are sometimes our own worst enemy or our own worst critic. I think most of us have self-doubt every once in a while, probably more than every once in a while, probably quite a few. Before I was getting up here, I had some self-doubt. Even at the moment, right now, probably have some self-doubt. So I think all of us deal with that. But let me ask you a question. Do you love yourself? A lot of people have issues with self-esteem, and they don't think very highly of themselves sometimes. It is easy for us to fall into the trap of thinking that we are not what we ought to be. But as Christians, we should not be so superficial at times. We should not measure our self-worth based on our physical appearance or what we say or do, as we term it sometimes, a worldview of things. But instead, it should be based on our spiritual appearance, our godly view. If we allow ourselves to get caught up in the hype of society, sometimes we'll end up becoming our own worst enemy. No one can do more destruction to your self-worth than you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 43, it reads, "You have heard that it is said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." While Jesus is talking about those who oppose you and how you should love them and pray for them, the same principle can apply to you if you become your own worst enemy. No matter how you look at it, as Christians, we are to love ourselves. Notice also in the same book, Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 35. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 35, it reads, "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" The foundation of our relationship with God is based on the foundation of love. God loves us, and we love God. Not only are we to love God with all our being, Jesus said we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Since we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, that proves that we are to love ourselves. If we don't think much of ourselves, then it's going to be kind of hard to love your neighbor. Why shouldn't we love ourselves? Maybe is the question. The Bible tells us that we are made in God's image, and we can find this in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 27. Genesis 1:27 reads, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." Certainly we should love what God has created. As Christians, we are called the body of Christ. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 22, it reads, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Since you and I make up the body of Christ that he purchased with his own blood, we have no reason not to love ourselves because we are a part of Christ. In him we live and breathe, and we live our life for him. When we realize that we are not living our life for ourselves, then there is no way we should ever hate ourselves or be dissatisfied with ourselves. While society may deem you as a social outcast and say that you don't wear the right clothes or say the right things or do the right things, you need to realize that what they are saying is not really important. What is important is what does God say? What does God see? Mankind has always had a problem with judging by the outer appearance of a person. We were just talking about that in class this morning. For instance, the prophet Samuel was asked to go to Jesse's house to anoint a new king for his sons. So let's take a look at that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. 2 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse 6, it reads, "So it was when they came that he looked at Eli and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Even this great prophet of God was looking at the outer appearance and thought Elab would be the pick that God would pick him. But he was wrong. God was not looking at who may have looked the part. He wanted someone that had the right spirit or the right heart. That person was David, who at the time was young and ruddy, which either means that he had red hair or that he had a healthy looking skin. So the next time you look in the mirror and you start comparing your appearance to what the world says is beautiful, stop doing that. And instead, look at your spirit and think about who you represent on this earth, because that is what is most important. If you allow yourself to become vain, you will become your own worst enemy, because even if you fit into the crowd of society, eventually gravity will take over and your skin will sag, hair will turn gray, and wrinkles will come. Then where will you be left when you can't stand looking at that person in the mirror? Another problem with not loving yourself is that you rate others based on the same vain thinking that you have. You will call others names that don't meet your standards. You would rather make fun of them to get them than to get to know them, which means you will be showing partiality. But God does not show partiality. If you do this kind of thing, then guess what? You are not representing Christ. You're only showing how self-centered and selfish you are. The worst enemy that you can have sometimes is the enemy within. Paul talks about this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 23, it reads, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that you do not gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So Paul is giving Timothy some great advice. First, he tells him not to get himself involved in foolish questions, because all they do is cause strife. Instead, he is to be gentle and patient in teaching others about God. But take a look at verse 25. It's interesting, especially in the King James Version, because Paul tells Timothy to instruct those that oppose themselves. This shows how a person can be their own worst enemy. You and I have the power within us to either be saved or to be lost, based on whom we decide to follow. If you do not repent or repent of your wrongdoings against God and acknowledge the truth of God, then you will actually be opposing yourself. To oppose means to provide resistance. Those who do not repent and choose to stay ignorant of God's word are resisting themselves, and they become their own worst enemy. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the other apostles preached about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, their message pricked the ears of some, and they wanted to know what they must do. We can pick up that story in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, a verse that I'm sure we're all very familiar with. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. This is a great passage that shows that a person must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. But I want you to notice what Peter says in verse 40. He tells them to save themselves from this perverse generation. Of course, this does not mean that they can save themselves apart from God's grace, because Peter told them that they had to repent and be baptized to be saved. Since God has given us a free will, we must choose to serve God or choose to be our own worst enemy. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it reads, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Again, this shows that you and I have the ability to either be saved or to be lost, depending on our own actions. It is in our own best interest to accept God's will so that our souls may be saved. Otherwise, we will become our own worst enemy. Another way the enemy within can cause us to lose our soul is when the pleasures of the flesh overcome us. So let's take a look at the scripture reading that David read for us. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, it reads, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." When we choose to live for the moment by satisfying the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and our own pride, we separate ourselves from God, which is not in our own best interest, because we need to remind ourselves that the lusts of this world will pass away, because they are only temporary, but heaven will last for eternity. So we must remind ourselves daily that heaven is our goal and how it will last forever. So we must fight against the enemy within and keep ourselves pure and holy by staying away from those sinful pleasures of this life. Another way we can become our own worst enemy is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, it reads, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned, who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Those who do not want to know the truth are condemning themselves. Since some seem to think that God will let everyone into heaven, especially if they are a good person, even if they don't follow God's commands. People who believe this lie are in for a rude awakening on the day of judgment, when God takes vengeance on all those of unrighteousness. This way of thinking is exactly how the enemy within can cause us to be lost, because sometimes we want to believe a lie so bad that we convince ourselves that it is true, and God will allow it to happen because of our own free will. Again, Paul points this truth out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 3, it reads, But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Again, I want to stress that God does not make you believe a lie, but he allows you to. Sometimes we don't want to know the truth. No matter what someone says or reads to us from the Bible, we're going to be blind and not see the truth, which can cause us to perish eternally unless we stop being our own worst enemy and open our eyes to the truth. The opposing Jews of Jesus' time had this problem, and Jesus did his best to open their eyes, but they would not listen. For instance, after Jesus rebuked them after keeping their traditions above God's, we can read in Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 12. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 12, it reads, "Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch.'" Those who are like-minded tend to stick together even when they are wrong. And this is what can happen when we allow ourselves to believe a lie instead of God's truth. Let me ask you a question. If you were lost out in the wild without hope of survival and found another person just as lost as you, would you follow that person's leadership in finding a way out of the wild? Most of us would say no. Yet those who are lost in sin often do just that. They choose to follow someone else who is equally lost. This even happens in the church because sometimes Christians seek those who are less qualified to teach them because they teach them things they want to hear instead of what they really need to hear, which is why Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm sorry, not verse 11, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all love, long-suffering, and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. If you only seek those who tickle your ears and make us feel good about sinful living, we're not learning about God's ways. We are allowing ourselves to be deceived by some other man or woman's teaching. When we allow this to happen, we allow the enemy within to take advantage of us. And like Jesus said, we are allowing the blind to lead us blindly, and we both will fall into the ditch of eternal separation from God. If we want to combat the enemy within, then we must seek out the wisdom of God and stay away from those who are willing to tickle our ears in order to make us feel good about our sin. As Paul says in Romans chapter 16, starting verse 17, Romans 16:17 reads, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Teachers who only speak flattering words do so their own gain at the cost of your soul. And we must fight against false teachings like this and avoid them. We need to follow the advice of Paul in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and power. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith and the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. We must be aware of what is going on around us and what other people are doing. Otherwise, we might find ourselves cut up in the philosophy of men and become disobedient to God instead of being obedient to him. As Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, we should be wise like serpents and harmless as doves. We must learn to keep the enemy within at bay so that we do not become our own worst enemy. This is what Paul did, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 27, it reads, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Being a faithful Christian requires more than just knowing what you should say or do and being able to tell people how they should live their lives based on the scriptures, because you can still become your own worst enemy even if you teach and know the truth and help others to live their lives in accordance to God's word, because you too must be a doer of God's word and not just a hearer. As Paul taught in Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it reads, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. So let us not allow the enemy within to cause us to lose our soul by teaching others how to live righteously, yet failing to live up to those same standards ourselves. We will be judged by how we live our life in this earth, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 10, it reads, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And also notice what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 17, it reads, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" As Christians, we must be careful and make sure that we dedicate our lives to the Lord, remembering that the righteous one is scarcely saved. That word scarcely means with difficulty. So if you are not a Christian, where do you think that leaves you? God has given us all a free will, and we can choose to serve God or we can choose to be lost. God hopes that you will choose life. So stop allowing the enemy within to defeat you and keep you from loving yourself and obeying God's commands. If you are here today and you have not become a Christian, I hope that you will stop believing the lie that you are okay. Or if you are here today and think that you are saved because you believed some man or woman that told you that you just had to believe on Jesus and that baptism is not necessary for salvation, I hope you will stop being deceived and believe the word of God. In Mark chapter 16:16, it says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." When you look at the conversions in the book of Acts, you will see that they believed and were baptized. For example, notice the Ethiopian eunuch conversion in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 36. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 36, it reads, "Now as they went down the road, they came to water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went out on his way rejoicing." Are you willing to stop listening to the lie about the importance of baptism? Are you willing to be like this eunuch and believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent and confess Jesus as your Lord? Are you willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? As Paul asked in Acts chapter 22:16, "If you are ready, I hope you will take care of the enemy within today and stop allowing the enemy within to defeat you and obey the will of God today."